Lime Life Home Video is proud to present the greatest outtakes and bloopers from the Todd and Dave Show.
Steve, I remember back in the day, gathering around the TV set, 4:45 in the morning with the family to watch Todd and Dave's fishing show. You can't ever replace those memories.
How can you live without the greatest VHS compilation of the best bloopers from the Todd and Dave Show?
Amazing stuff from two amazing people.
Oh, come on! We're trying to musky fish here, Todd! Don't know what's up!
Dad, the jet skis are a problem, Dave. They're a problem here, they're a problem everywhere. This'll fix them.
Oh. Oh, no, Todd, I think you hit him!
He's down, baby. Down for the count.
Start up the old Mercury.
Bye-bye, jet skier.
See ya!
Wouldn't want to be ya.
Jay, can you imagine owning these magical memories on home videotape?
Steve, this is what musky memories are made of.
Todd, you'll never believe this. I'm trying to get through traffic this morning. Get over here so we can film the show. And guess what pulls up to me? He's got the car.
Dave. Dave, shut up. Dave, calm down. Start from the start. I'm not following you here. You pull up the traffic, then what happened?
He's got the car going bumpity-bumpity. So I roll my window down and I do his face.
Well, that'll show him.
Steve, it just doesn't get any more wholesome than Todd and Dave.
Hey, Dave, want to hear a good one?
I love it.
Okay, let me set this up properly, okay? Three people walk into a bar. First one's a... Second one's a... Third one's a Thai ladyboy. Guess what happens next?
Jay, how have I never seen these amazing outtakes from the Todd and Dave Show?
Steve, it doesn't matter because now you can finally own them from Slime Life Home Video.
Hey, Dave, check this out. I'm going to make a little phone call, my friend.
Hello, this is Wrigley Field.
If the Cubs don't start winning, I am going to blow that place up like I blow up the bathroom at Taco Bell, my friend.
Jay. What VHS home videotape collection would be complete without the Todd and Dave blooper collection?
It's just simply one word comes to mind, Steve, and that's the word cherish.
Dave, slow down. We got a Smokey behind us.
There ain't no way, Todd. We gotta get this case of Meps to Minocqua, Wisconsin by midnight. Shoot him!
Take a shot at the tires!
All right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 Podcast, Jay Bird.
Steve!
Have you hung your Christmas stocking with care? Yes.
And as a matter of fact, I got your Christmas present today. I got that Santa hat with the Musky Shop patch on it. Absolutely
festive.
Well, I don't know if I'll ever wear it, but, you know, it looks great.
Yeah, absolutely. You get the other hat?
Yeah, I got that goofy hat, too. What the heck is that thing?
It's a Pikachu.
Pikachu.
It's from the Japanese children's show Pokemon.
Oh, he's got little ears sticking out of the top.
You're a Pikachu, say it, Jay. Me Pikachu.
Me Pikachu?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Well, thanks.
You watch
your mailbox. It should have been there today, but Jody said it didn't arrive, so... Tomorrow you get something very special. You're going to love it.
You've got mail.
Genitalia. It needs to go on the thumbnail. It needs to go on the thumbnail when you get a picture of it.
I'll be holidaying, Jay. Okay. Anyway, hopefully I'll get it here very shortly. You know, Jay and his...
Well, you know the mail service this week.
It's wacky. Wacky,
it is crazy.
Wacky and wonderful. It's the Super Bowl.
Well, Merry Christmas, Steve. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to all the podcast listeners, or Hanukkah for some of us.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas, guys.
Kwanzaa or Diwali, if you're... Whatever. You know, whatever you celebrate. Winter solstice. Mm-hmm. Jay, remember before your new family adopted you and your original parents used to take you out in the woods to sacrifice a goat on the solstice?
We did that a lot.
You know? We did that a lot.
Yeah, sure.
But Jay was rescued from a cult called Family Suckers sometime in the early 70s. They believed that Enochnu was coming to rule the North Woods with an iron fist. Yeah, I'll be damned. So, anyway, there's not a lot of comings and goings at the Muskie Shop, but there's going to be a lot of gift cards showing up in people's stockings.
Yes,
I've seen
is.
A lot of people's wives have been calling up to the shop for Jay. Mm-hmm. They heard he's single and ready to mingle. So, no. So, there's going to be some neat stuff. An email went out today, sort of talking about the new stuff for the coming out this beginning of the year. You got the hot new bucktail, that IC7. You got the quad dog, which is four's better than one.
Forged in wood,
forged in chunky rubber.
Yeah, the quad dog is going to be approximately mid-January.
Yeah. And you got the Kraken.
The IC7, the round two of the IC7 is on the way. So
but there's
by
still
the time
some
you hear this, it'll be hitting the shelves next week.
Well, there's still some available if you need them now. On that, yeah. Yep. And you got the Kraken, I believe.
Ooh, yeah.
The matter when you hear this, a matter of days away. So
yep,
if you're not
coming.
Signed up, it is ready to rock and roll.
Sign up, first wave is going to rock, and we'll have a lot of details on that, Steve. I mean, we got some work to do.
Oh yeah, when we get done from the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So then you got the Penta Dog comes out in February.
The Penta Dog,
right? And then you have the Octo Dog.
Okay.
So, and I'm out of geometric names I could or tell.
You got the Desidusa.
The Desidusa, right. Dodecahedron.
So, it's the metric system, Steve. Embrace it.
It is just nothing but it's, folks, I lived through the tail wars and musky jerk baits. It started with one. By the end of it, these baits had 30 tails.
30 tails, no body anymore.
It was just tails. You just connected your leader to some. They didn't even know where a hook was. Just tails.
Even need a hook.
Just whipped them in the face. Just knocked them out.
Tails just choked them. Put them in a choke hood like an octopi.
Octopi. You just so many.
Yeah.
It's just more tail than a cheerleader camp. Anyway. Holy cannoli, Jay. There are some people still fishing. And with the holiday break coming up, there's open water a lot of places, a lot more places than you think. And, it gets overlooked this time of year. You think super southern, or you think this. There's some opportunities, and there's some people that are going to have some time off from work, coming up with the holiday. So I want to talk for just a few minutes. Now, I will warn you, we did our typical holiday BS phone calls. Our annual annoying a Smitty phone call. We'll get there, and we talked to Jim at the Muskie Shop. He spread some holiday cheer this week. But there's going to be people hitting the water from anywhere there's open water. You can legally do it. Jay, is there, and it might sound crazy, I don't know the answer to this. Down in Madison, is it completely locked up already down there? Is there open stuff there?
No, it's got to be completely wide open.
There you go. And you
know what? I think Trout Lake up not far from me, 25-minute drive from me, I believe you could get a boat out there. Doug said something, a guy I work with, Doug said something the other day that the landing was a little iffy, and this was after a cold night. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you might have to break a little ice, probably, I'm assuming, the North Shore. Landing, but it sounds like there's a couple of the big clear deep lakes in the area that might actually have open water because they've been ice fishing around here since Thanksgiving, on the small stuff. But everything I drive by on the way to work is locked up, obviously.
Right.
Let me put it that way in the North Woods, but yeah,
but
southern Wisconsin, and you can get a boat out just about wherever you want.
Right. When you get into Illinois, you get into anywhere further than that.
And the weather forecast, Steve,
it looks good.
Yeah. They're talking mid-50s in the southern half.
Yeah.
That might hit 50 here on Sunday or Monday. So
I'm looking at like West Virginia weather here as of late, and it's like going to be 60. So great day to get out. What we need to consider during this time of year is the staging location of these fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens a lot of times, I think, with now Jay is not a, well, he used to. I'm not a deer hunter. I don't shoot deerts. But a lot of guys sort of lose the musky thread once the deert season hits, right?
Yeah.
And they take a break and they come back out. So you went from right before the deerts were hitting, you know, you're catching deerts left and right. You were on this shallow water, possibly the top water bite, that hot fall bite, right? Then you're smearing yourself down with deer pee and crawling around the woods, and you've missed the transition to the deeper edges. What I would consider, if you're going to target some fish over the holiday season here, really be looking at 8 to 12, that deeper edge, you know, in some of these different bodies of water. I'm not really looking for a shallow water bite this time of year. I'm looking for an edge bite. I'm looking for a break line bite. And it's super important you understand the staging of forage, right? Now, we've talked about it before. I'm not going to beat the dead horse. But, you know, deep is relative, depending on what kind of body you're fishing. You know, you got a lot of open water, Jay. Fox River stuff. There's any moving water is pretty wide open, right? So, you know, you're going to find muskies gravitating towards deeper holes, but they might be up shallow, right? It's a relative endeavor. But consider those outside edges, those break lines, those main breaks right before it drops off into the deep stuff. From that until about that 5-6 feet is where my main focus is. But big caveat here. With that weird warm-up, I'm going to have it. You're going to have some of that headed your way. You know, if that's sustained for a couple of days, you could see some fish move up actually shallow. Like shallow, yeah.
Okay.
Depending on your water temperatures. You know, right now I'm schmutzing around 49, 48, right? Which is tropical for you, right?
But,
you know, we're going from one extreme to the other. But there's going to be water sort of everywhere in between. If you get that edge warm up, you really need to be watching for, I don't know a better term. It's probably offensive at this point to say Indian summer, but my wife's Indian, so I can get away with it. And with that being said, if you have that 3-day warm up, you're going to see some fish actually make moves shallow once the forage sort of catches up, right? So think about sort of your placement in whatever the fronts are. It's super important this time of year. You know, hey, you know, only the true hardcores are going out on Christmas Day, right? Because they hate their families. right? Don't wake me up, kids. I'll already be on the boat. I'll be home at noon drunk to open presents. But, you know, okay, let's say the kind of warm-up's happening. You got a 3-day window. You're seeing the weather patterns. You know, be observant this entire time before you hit the water. Sort of get a good locked-in view of what's happening. The other thing I can tell you is this. It's been majory for me. I've actually starting to see, because we're not having a lot of weather, at least where I'm at. And you're not seeing like crazy weather. Like it's pretty dry. You know, Jay, you guys don't have a ton of snow, right? You know, so
barely any.
Right.
It's going away.
It's a pretty dry year, at least from my perspective, where majors are sort of important. So make sure you're timing your day out to consider. And you go, well, what presentations, let's say this is my first time to be on the boat, or I haven't had a lot of time with all the holidays, where do I start presentation-wise? This time of year, for me, it's going to be rubber jerk baits. I want to make sure I have something that will cover that water column. It's going to be probative from top to bottom, right? So whether it be your bulldog, your toothy tough, your freaking Medusa, whatever it is, I'm going to start with a rubber jerk bait. That's going to be sort of my bar this time of year. It will get me where I need to be, where I can contour those shallow zones, contour those breaks, and then drop it down to deep water, right? Another interesting...
Whether you're on moving water
or lake, yeah.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, I mean, just because the versatility there.
I never, ever musky fish this lake, living where I am. You know, so I'm following what you're saying, but in practice, you know, I don't have any experience with
most people.
If there is a giant warm up this late in the year, you know, basically the 1st of January coming up next week,
you'll see shallow fish. You'll see fish that you can get on a shallow invader or a crane. It happens.
Well, I mean, the last day filming shorts with Tom, three, 4 weeks ago, we had a really cold stretch. And, you know, I mean, the water temp was like 34, 35, and we had this hot, you know, little muskie kept following in baits.
Yeah.
So he was in 3 feet of water.
3 feet of water. You can't discredit it on warm-up. So the thing being this, you got two ways to start today. Mm-hmm. Deeper edges with rubber. You could run deeper cranks, but I like rubber this late in the year because if I want to hit a shallow edge, I can work it off of that and then really contour. One thing that you will see, at least the waters I fish, and I fish a lot of different waters from Tennessee and far northern from where I'm at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bottom tight, bottom tight, bottom tight, bottom tight. You will see the majority of your bait, the majority of your forage is tight, tight, tight to the bottom. So it becomes easy to go, I know where the muskies are at. They are on the bottom or slightly off thereof, right?
Sure.
Now we need to close the gap by contouring. So you're going to get a heck of a lot more contacts with fish if you're running 2 feet off the bottom opposed to 9 feet. That whole proximity game. So it becomes a vertical proximity, like we've talked about the proximity thereof in casting. So I want to make sure that I'm contouring the areas I'm targeting. I don't want to drag the bottom, right? We don't want to be coming up behind them or from under them and spook them out, but we want to be running just over their heads. So that's the consideration to make as far as your presentations. Now, the flip side of that coin, the other place you can start, if that warm-up is present and you are seeing shallow bait fish, I actually today, Jay, you know, and it happens, everybody's been caught in a log or a snag, moved up on some edges. I saw a couple largemouth spooking around. Like, whoa.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Cool.
And you see them dart out of there and you go, well, I just got some really cheap intel. Right? I just got free information. Sure. All right, somebody put on something shallow and run up there and lickety split. Is it a monster? No, but it was fun to catch. Right? So you'll have a couple different options there depending on your warm-up. But like I said, I'm going to be thinking big rubber. I'm going to be thinking big glide baits with a quick sink rate. I think this late in the year, something that is missed is, yes, gliders are great, but if your glide bait is not getting down, you're missing a lot of opportunities, right? So waiting a 7-inch hell or 7-inch phantom or running a heavier glide bait, like the Fat AZ and some of that stuff that has a quicker sink rate, opposed to your lighter, higher in the water cone baits. Another bait that comes to mind though for me is the Warlock with the tunable tail, right? And this time, this cold water period, the big Warlock is invaluable from a tuning standpoint, right? So, excuse me, you have the big Warlock. We need a big profile this time of year. I mean, there's times that downsize will work, but allow me the latitude, right? This big Warlock has a quick side to side and a nice belly roll when it pauses. But that tunable tail, we can work it fast and deep without having to count it down so much. So tweaking the tail on a big Warlock is money in a cold water situation in that later part of the year. And let's say I'm fishing an edge that's relatively consistent. You can practically dial that bait in to contour what you're looking at speed, right? So if you needed to get it down, that's what I'm thinking about there. The other thing I've been doing phenomenal on, especially, hey, you're taking your nephew or you're taking a client or you're taking a buddy that's not a glide expert, is the Viper from Livingston. And the big one, what's interesting on that bait is the big Viper. It's a jointed glide bait, swim bait, if you will, right? If you straight retrieve it like a bucktail, it sort of snakes along. But if you do real stop, I'm talking half turns, whack, whack, that thing glides, right? That's the purpose of the bait. But they're hinged in the middle, and you can take the hinge pin out and change the weighting on them. So they come with these actual weighted balls inside the bait, but you can put whatever you want in there. As long as you evenly weight the bait front to back, so you add X amount of weight in the front, X amount of weight in the back, as long as it's even, it's still going to glide, right? that's deadly if I need to get something down there, or if I just don't feel like tweaking a bait, or I don't have a bait that's going to work at the depth and speed I'm looking for, right? So it's a cheap way and a quick way to do it, and that Viper, they will smoke it, and it's got a lot of action with just a reeling action, but those are going to be some considerations there. Again, your big rubber baits. One thing I'll tell you, I think that gets misunderstood, you know, is throwing pounders. Yes, they will work on just about any size fish, but make sure you're on jumbos before you get there and start hooking the pounders. I've sort of, with pan optics and side scan, man, the amount of fish and the amount of time I'm spending with those pounders is less and less and less and less, right?
What, you got small fish taking a look at them and then breaking off?
I'm having a 47 come in and look at them breaking off, and you pick them up on a regular dog. You know, you can't deny the water displacement and the attention that a bait that big will get, but the amount of really good fish you just do a cartwheel to catch that day that won't commit to that. So make sure if you're going full tilt with your big rubber, make sure they're cracking off. You know what I'm saying? They're really
any bigger size profile than a pounder, really.
Right. And after that, I mean, there's the one Giganto. Dan at Toothy Tough has sent me some of them that's like bigger than a pounder. I think the thing weighs 2 pounds, and it's just like, I'm good. You know, it's beautiful to look at, but it is a arm breaker. But you want to make sure you have a really solid big bite. And if you don't have those electronics, what I'll say is this: don't get in the habit of Mega Medusa pounder, mix it up. Right. If you got two guys throwing big rubber baits, mix it up where you've got one big, one medium presentation, because you can sort of get in that hog hunt mind. And I've seen it, man, where here comes a 48, a 50 comes in on a pounder. He looks at it. He breaks off. We come right back around, give him 5 minutes and come back on a mag dog and smoke him. So don't think just big is the only way. But, you know, if you're thinking about getting out in the water, if you got the opportunity, that's at least some thoughts. You know, if you're out there and you're doing this frozen chosen thing, you've been doing it for years and years and years, you know what I'm talking about. But just consider that. And like you said, with that warm up, put the top waters, put the bucktails away, get rubber, you know, get down on those edges. Again, trolling. That's the other thing I'll say is this time of year is trolling time if you know where fish are. If you understand that muskies are primarily setting from 7 to 8 feet on that break line in a certain section of lake, dialing in your running depth and your speed is about all you got to do, right? You can close that gap. You can keep it right in your face. Whammo, bammo, fish on in. Another thing from housekeeping, I even mentioned this, Jay. It's been a couple weeks. If you're a troller, right, or you're interested in trolling, check out the trolling section on the 360 app. I added a ton of new baits here recently.
Yeah.
Ton of baits. I spent a lot of time making those trolling charts. Some of them are my personal charts. Some of them are from the manufacturers. Finally got around to doing that. So expanded the trolling charts a good bit of where you've got a lot of new baits and you got some different info on there. So if you're a troller, that's a great starting place or a great reference. But anyway, Jay, enough about that. It's the holidays. People want holiday cheer. They want to sip hot cocoa and watch Todd and Dave. So I figure what we do is, Jay, let's just call the Smitties real quick.
Yes.
Jake okay. Smitty's on the podcast. Jake.
Jake, you there?
Yeah, I am. What's going on?
Hey, man.
What would you say
Merry
is
Christmas.
The what? Merry Christmas, Jake.
Merry Christmas,
Jake.
To you.
Ho ho hos.
How's ho, the ho. Sales at the musky shop with the musky baits?
We're hos hos hos.
Going real good, buddy.
Anyway,
looks like
Jake,
we're finally getting a little snow here again.
Well, call me if you need some snow. Anyway, Jake, what would you say are the best Smitty baits for anglers that are new to musky fishing? I'm just making her up, baby.
Yep.
Our large jointed, I fit really well with last fall.
Mm-hmm.
Summer and fall, because it's a really easy bait to use. It's kind of similar to some of the swim baits that are being thrown, you know, the rubber swim baits. But you can wind it, and you can jerk it, you can rip it. It gets down you know, fairly deep, down 6 feet or so. And that's a easy bait to use that you can't screw it up. I did
can't
really
fish it
well
wrong.
With it. I did really well with it last year in the green water, you know, in September.
Right.
Makes so much vibration over a jerkbait, you know, our jerkbait that doesn't make as much vibration.
So I got to ask you, is your wife back in town?
Yeah, she is. Did you?
Because I called you the other day, it was complete chaos. Jay, I called Jake. I was like, how are you doing? It's like, there were children screaming. It was amazing.
He hung up on me real quick.
I was like, dude, did you get what I said? Ah!
Was he making his famous chicken recipe?
No. They were.
Oh, he wasn't at the time. Chicken. Oh, okay.
I got a tip roast that I'm going home to
cook. Okay.
Tip roast. I got a
tip
roast.
Well, if you ever
want
to give out that chicken recipe publicly, we had a lot of people in, you know, interested in that. So
okay. It's just plain.
You just spinny chicken flat out. You put like 4 ounces of water in a pan and just boil the chicken at 85 degrees.
Smitty chicken. As easy as it gets,
it
baby.
It takes all day. Jake, is your favorite part the pink part of the chicken or what?
Are you still here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like your chicken medium rare or what's going on?
At least pink.
Okay. Anyway,
that's disgusting. So, now, in all actuality, we're just hitting people on the Christmas podcast. A lot of Smitty baits, when I look at them, they're jerk baits, dive and rise baits, like whether it be the tracer tail or whatever. How are you guys fishing those baits and why they're important to a musky game plan?
The jerk baits. I throw them from spring all the way through the fall. It's the stop-and-go motion, and it's different than a lot of other jerkbaits. They dart to the side more. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not just up and down. They're darting all over the place. It's erratic. Pretty easy to use. They're weighted. They don't pop up on you, and they stay. Mm-hmm. They don't go deep, but they get into the 2 to 3 foot range. We're working over weeds and cover.
Can I ask you the serious question?
Okay.
It's you?
Is this another recipe?
No, this is serious. Calm down.
Oh, right? Okay.
There's you. And you're in a room with a tiger.
Ooh.
And the tiger wants to fight you. How do you beat it?
Probably grab them by the eyes.
Right. What do you do after that? You grab them by the eyes. Hit Smitty shank in the neck.
Exactly what I was thinking, yeah. Steve. Pull out the shanking knife.
Has your dad
You didn't tell me we could have weapons. I would have just shot him.
Weapons.
Weapons.
No, there's just nothing but Smitty shanks.
Well, yeah,
Chase. Anyway, Jake, have a good night. We apologize.
Okay.
Very sorry.
Jay, it's always a holiday blessing to speak to a Smitty.
It is. It really is.
In my culture, it's bad luck if you don't talk to a Smitty before Christmas.
Good point. I never thought about it that way, but if you think about it, you're getting that bonus new recipe.
Right. If you think about it, listen, in a lot of cultures, it's bad luck if you don't talk to a Smitty before the holiday. So Jake's phone number is, I'm teasing, 731. Anyway, he's a hoot. Well, you know what? We got the Christmas coming up. There's only one person that's a good person in our world. Well, let's call Jim from the Muskie Shop. What do you say, Jay?
Absolutely. Let's get him on the horn.
All right, guys, we have Jim Stewart, owner of the Muskie Shop. Jim, what does Christmas mean to you?
It means everything. I mean, to me personally, it means the birth of Jesus and getting together with family. And I actually just got back from a Christmas right now.
Really?
But, so,
did he get?
Yeah,
it? What did you get?
Oh, yeah. I like Christmas.
He loves it, folks. What did you get? What did you get for Christmas, Jim?
Well, no presents yet. That'll probably. We're really not doing the present thing this year, and I'm sure I don't deserve any. Maybe that's the reason why. The family's like, screw you. You don't need them. So you don't deserve
them. Come on. You,
I would get nothing yet, but hopefully something will be hit there. But when we get that,
according to FedEx tracking, the socks me and Jody sent you will be there by Wednesday.
Well, you know, if you go by statistics alone, I mean, Jim and I are thankful because we're probably the only two Muskie Shop employees that didn't hit a deer this fall. You know, I mean, you got to think the bright side, right?
Amen to that. Hopefully that keeps going.
That's going on. Jim, we're just gabbing with, we talked to Jace Kumpf about South Dakota Muskies. We talked to Smitty about just the Smitty base because we wanted to annoy him. What would you say are things you could get a muskie angler for Christmas, or what are you grateful for? The floor is yours.
Well, man, I'm grateful for everything, man. The health and all of our customers who we're so blessed with to have and interact with throughout the year, muskies, and gifts. I mean, I think Jay and Tom put together a bunch of really nice lure packs that, you know, if you're still out there looking to shop, those would be really nice gifts, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know what muskie fisherman wouldn't want some of those lure packs that those guys put together. They're pretty cool packs.
What would you say for Christmas is wrong with Tom? Sorry, Tom.
That's always the running joke at the shop. Everything's Tom's fault, and it isn't. Nothing is ever Tom's fault in reality, but when something goes wrong, Tom, it's always Tom's fault.
Tom the Petri dish.
Tom's up in Hurley. He's up way up north today with his son shooting a puck, playing some hockey.
They're looking for Uper rocks. Anyway.
Hockey.
You know, it's Christmas. It's time for giving. I at least want to end the podcast because me and Jay are absolute pieces of the shit. I wanted to have a wonderful Christmas message from the Muskie Shop. Jim Stewart's the only person who can do it. Jim, would you wrap up the podcast for something that for two people that are horrible that do the podcast every week? What would you say is the message of muskie fishing and sort of the overarching angle of our sport?
Gosh, it's such a great sport. I think we all love muskies. I mean, I know we do. We're kind of in that business, but man, we're in the sport too. We love to go out and fish. And man, muskie fishing, you can go from zero to hero in a second. And it's just so much fun. It can be hours of nothing, but all of a sudden you get the biggest fish of your life, and it's just a thrill that you really can't describe. But I think we all, no matter how many you catch, and Steven and Jay, you both can answer this. It's like, no matter how many you catch, when that one hit, when that big muskie hits, and when you get it in the net and you kind of have taken pictures and you let it go, you look down and you're still shaking, no matter how old you are and how many you've caught. So it's just such a great, great sport, and it's always thrilling, and it just keeps you going back for more all the time.
Absolutely. So, folks,
yep,
we're wrapping up. Merry Christmas for me and Jay. Jim, Merry Christmas. Let everybody know what Christmas is about, Jim.
Well, yeah, it's the birth of Jesus, and you know, it's I think we've got that, and you know, so we all want to celebrate that for sure, and then family, and you know, shoot, I'm not a big get together with people kind of guy, but hey, we love our family and loved ones, and we get together and have some fun and some laughs, and you know, share the birth of Jesus, and you know, it's good stuff.
Well, Jay, that pretty much sums up what the Christmas season is all about.
I
always thought it was about eggnog and Todd and Dave and then fighting with brothers-in-law.
No, it's about Jim. It's about family. It's about Faith. New chicken recipes. And, you know, I mean, Smitty, Jake. He texted us, what was he cooking the other day? I mean, so it was something pretty fancy.
It looked disgusting to me.
It looked like roast beef or something. I mean, the guy's got recipes crawling out.
He's got a new cookbook coming out, by the way. Do you know that?
What's it called?
Jake Smitty Smith Cooking with Hot Water and Meat. It's Jake's famous meat boils. Taste that boiled meat. It's just so he branches out at one point. So it really gets flavorful when he starts cooking with tannic water. That's the only seasoning he uses. So you have non-tannic and tannic water that he will boil. And okay. Some of what I read in it, he sent me the proof copy. Mm-hmm. A little of his technique is you've got to really let that meat dry out after you've boiled it, right? So you got to sort of let it set for maybe 13 hours.
Sure.
It brings out the stringiness. Sure.
Does he use a dehydrator?
Or no.
How is this done? What kind of meat are we talking about?
All meats. He takes the meat out of the boiling water and he just lets it rest. So it cooks up, right? Sometimes he wraps it in foil. It brings out the good, the stringy qualities that everybody loves in a good piece of meat.
Okay.
Anyway, Jay, it's Christmas. Say Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. What else you got, Jay?
I've got Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening all year long, guys. We appreciate it. We really do.
All right, guys. Merry Christmas to you guys. We do appreciate you. Later.
Bye-bye.